Welcome back to Project Independence in You Talk Radio. Right now we have, we're speaking with Risa Berg and also Kathy Samuels, who's here. We're talking about drug abuse in the older population. And I know before we went to break, you wanted to talk a little bit about iStop.
Yes.
And doctors.
Yes.
Excuse me, before you start, just tell me, is there a lot of drug abuse with seniors?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So right now, the stats are around 3 million Americans over the age of 65 are struggling. But all of these statistics, you have to bear in mind that these are reported numbers. There are a lot of people who maybe their families haven't identified them as having a problem. So we really don't know an accurate number.
Right.
But I will say in my own practice, I see a lot of people over the age of 60 come in looking for help with either alcoholism or prescription pill abuse.
Right.
Even heroin use.
Yeah. Wow. It's shocking to hear, you know, that you...
Right. What happened to grandma?
Right. Well, you know, just yesterday I had a gentleman come in who was 89 years old looking for help with his alcoholism. 89.
Wow.
So it's not just a young person problem.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's good to hear.
I admire him for looking
absolutely,
for help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're a viable person. You need, you know, it's an important program.
Right. So. One of the things that's a challenge with the older community is that they're less detected in terms of doctor shopping. Now, doctor shopping essentially is going to one doctor saying, I have pain, whether you have it or not, and then going to another doctor and saying the same story, different story. And then you have two prescriptions, right? So this was a huge problem in the early 2000s. So LICAD, LIRA, a bunch of other grassroots organizations, advocates, went up to Albany, advocated for change. And in 2013, the internet system to track overprescribing, or iStop, went into place. So now when you go to Dr. A, you're put into a registry or a database, so that when you go to Dr. B, they say, Risa, you were already prescribed. The pharmacy says you already picked up your prescription this month. They changed a lot of things with e-scripts.
So is that automatic? Like if I leave my doctor and go to another one in the same day, is it that quick?
Ideally, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, nothing's perfect.
Right.
It depends when people are putting things into the system.
But that is in place to work that way. But okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
And they change a lot of things with e-scripts. So now you don't actually physically hold on to a narcotic prescription. It's sent electronically. And just this past summer, there was legislation to change prescription methods so that instead of getting a 30-day supply of certain drug after a surgery, a root canal, you can only get a 7-day supply, at which point you would have to go back to your doctor, get reevaluated to get the additional amount. And so one of the great things about this is that it limited the amount of prescription pills that people had in their home.
Right.
Which is not only important for the person who is using the pills, but also their family or whoever is in their home with them.
Sure. I mean, I think that even in our high schools today, that seems there seems to be an increase in kids getting addicted to Xanax or whatever, and they're finding it at home.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And we know from Nassau County statistics that were done in 2014 and 15, 3.5% of 12th grade students are using prescription drugs in the past 30 days. So the issue is here on Long Island. We see often in Newsday and in many, you know, local communities that kids are dying. And kids are walking to LICAD asking for help.
Are you, when you say that they're addicted to prescription drugs, is that just specifically from the maybe what they're finding in their homes, or are they being prescribed for them and misused?
The issue becomes most kids that we know through surveys and things of that nature, that a large percentage of kids, 65% to 68%, are getting them through friends and families, medicine cabinets.
Right.
And that's really where, you know, we've been working with the town for many years on relaying to parents and grandparents the importance of locking up medications and disposing of medications when they are sitting in your cabinets. So that's how kids predominantly get their prescriptions. Certainly you can get them online.
May I ask you a question? Are the numbers greater in more affluent areas than in less affluent areas where they can afford to buy them? And
I believe, and this issue of prescription drug abuse is across Long Island. We have some of the highest across the state, mm-hmm. and possibly the country. As far as affluence is concerned, you know, I don't want to pit one community from the North Shore to the South Shore, but this issue is going on across North Shore and South Shore. Kids are dying. And people are seeking treatment, and lives and families are being turned upside down because of this abuse and because of this epidemic.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to reiterate the medicine drop-offs, right? So if you are someone who has medicine in your house that you're no longer using, we really encourage you to bring any of those medications to any local precinct. All precincts across Long Island, especially in Nassau County, have kind of what looks like post office bins where you can just put your medication in there discreetly, no questions asked. So it's a really, really great service that a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
And the other thing is that if you are still actively using medication, you have medication that you need, the one place that most people think of keeping their medicine is in their bathroom medicine cabinet. But that's the one place in your house where if a grandchild, a child went into, you would let them lock the door and have as long as they need in privacy.
Right.
So that's not the best place in the house either, right? So to having that dialogue amongst your family, where is a safe place for us to keep this?
Right. Right. That's very true. You know, everything that you're thinking, I'm thinking about all the things, you know, that could potentially happen. I mean, and kids could have access to it even unmeaningly. Is that a word? You know, a younger person opens it up, the pill looks purple, it looks like candy, and they take it.
And
an accidental, right?
Exactly. And there's a lot of kids going to the emergency rooms because kids under six who are accessing medications and even over-the-counter medications,
mm-hmm.
things like
right.
Tylenol and
Advil.
And I don't mean to say the brand names of things, but ibuprofen. You know, we are seeing those rates and those numbers at a very high level. I believe it's 100,000 kids were, you know, detected through the Dawn report, which is through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. So we do know kids are gaining access to medications. We even know from real estate agents that they are now telling homeowners, when you are selling your house, lock up your medications because you don't know who's coming into your house
right.
to view that. And that is something that we really were very surprised over, that we are at that level where real estate organizations are saying to the homeowner, you have to lock up your medications.
Yes, you say it's very sad, but we are at that level. You have to look over your shoulder. You know, I'm surprised they don't make medicine chests that can be locked.
And the other part of it is today's society is we, from an advertising standpoint, I mean, how many times if you're sitting watching television between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, which is prime time for probably seniors as well as our young people,
sure.
take this pill, ask your doctor. You know, it used to be that you went to the doctor and you were diagnosed with a problem.
He told you what to take.
Exactly.
You didn't tell him what to
right.
give you.
You know, so we're living in a time where we all do believe in many ways that this pill will solve our problems. But much of the medication that's out there, we have side effects. We should be aware of it. We should be having discussions with our doctors. We need to dispose of the extra medication in our homes, which Risa talked about. And the precinct level, whether it's Nassau County or Suffolk County, all you have to do is walk in. There's no questions asked, and just deposit it in the box. And those steps, while they sound very simple, might help to change the dynamic, whether it's for older adults or younger people, to not have access to the medications.
I mean, it seems like the prescriber, you know, the doctor, should have some counseling with the drugs, especially the ones that are addictive, and I know you had mentioned, you know, that in some of the medical schools now, they're talking and teaching with some of the medical students, you know, how to best counsel somebody. You know, these drugs are addictive. You know, they are for a specific reason. And once that reason subsides, these pills you should dispose of them properly.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I'm just saying when a doctor is writing that prescription, you know, they bear a lot of the responsibility to the proper usage and counsel to the patient. on, you know, what's out there. So I'm glad to hear that some medical schools are kind of training.
And that's what we were told. Our organization just attended some training down in Washington, D.C., and members of the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration were there, and they said that the latest trend now is for the medical schools to address this issue. Because, you know, how do you deny what's going on in local communities with people losing lives?
Right.
And the addiction rates being so high. And that's something, you know, that at a grassroots level, LICAT is working on things. And you can reach LICAT at www.licat.org, as well as organizations like Manhasset CASA, manhasetcasa.org. You know, we are working with parents, working across all community levels to try and help people make healthier decisions in their lives.
Right. I think we've really touched on a lot of topics, you know, from seniors who maybe in their past dabbled and it's now affecting them as an adult because they need to use, you know, painkillers for whatever reason as prescribed, you know, new, you know, alcoholism as we age, drug abuse as we age, you know, worrying about our grandchildren accessing our medication, our children. But I mean, you really have to be your own advocate. I mean, that's part of what Project Independence is all about. Like, we always tell people, when you go to the doctor, you know, when he tell, you know, a senior goes to a doctor and says, okay, we have to change this medication. And that's all they hear, because you're like focused on, okay, well, I have that written down here, I have this here. And it affects so many different things. So it's very important. I guess when you go to the doctor, you really need to ask a lot of questions.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because my mom, she's 87, and one of her children, go with her to the doctor for that reason, to make sure she's understanding everything the doctor's saying.
She's very lucky.
Yeah.
Not everybody has somebody to
exactly.
go. So, you know, there are, like Project Independence, if you call 311, we have a program called Circle of Support, which kind of has, like, helps you plan. So, you know, it's all about planning, going to the doctor, asking the right questions, taking notes, see if you can get somebody to go with you, just in case they can hear something you haven't heard. And, you know, you can get more information that way. 15 seconds left. I can't believe it. Risa and Kathy, you have to come back, because this is such an important topic and this needs to get out there. People need to know it can happen when you get older. Thank you so much. We will be back. WCWP.org.